The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Circling the Bases, a baseball podcast from NBC Sports Edge. I am Chris Crawford. I host this podcast every Thursday morning, and I bring on some smart folks from around the baseball industry to talk all things fantasy baseball and more. Thanks for everybody who's joining us live right now via YouTube, via Twitch. We really appreciate it, and we'll get into why you're important again in a second. You're important anyway, but you're especially important for this one because you might notice that I do not have a special guest this week. It is just me. I'm going solo. I'm taking my talent where, you know, this is probably my ceiling. But we're going to talk prospects today. A lot of you, unfortunately, know that I have made a good deal of my living and a good deal of my baseball time has been talking about baseball prospects. So that's what we're going to do today. I reached out to you guys via Twitter to ask some prospect questions, and you brought in a bunch. So we're going to do that throughout the show. If you're joining us live, you have the chance to ask those questions. I can almost guarantee that we're going to be able to get to them because I'm just that nice of a person.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
But before we get started, I do have a special offer for you guys, and it's super great, especially at this time of year. Fantasy football is coming up. And you need to use that promo code BASES10 to get 10% off any premium subscription for NBC Sports Edge Plus. Now, look, it's super useful right now for the baseball tools as well, but you can use it for every sport. And with fantasy football coming up, it covers the NFL, it covers the NBA, it covers the NHL. So it's a great value if you're just playing baseball, but it's an even better value if you're playing all sports. Just remember that promo code is BASES10, and you can go to NBCSportsEdge.com/premium. To get started. So let's get started with the questions. The first one we got, I kind of feel bad that this is the one that is leading off because this person couldn't have known that a prospect was going to get called up today, but they asked, are we done seeing top prospects called up? And my answer would have been no anyway, and we'll get into Josh Lowe in just a second, even though nobody sent in a question because they didn't have time. But no, we'll still see some top prospects called up. It's impossible to predict at this point, but you're still going to see some guys that surprise, that get that promotion for these final few weeks. Mostly what you're going to see are guys who are either already on the 40-man roster because, you know, they're not having to make a roster move, or guys that they're going to need to add to the 40-man roster anyway. So a guy who would want to protect from the Rule 5 draft, that's the type of player that you're going to see get called up. So yes, you do have to be cognizant of prospects at this point. Even if they're not on the major league roster, there is a chance that they will get called up. And one of those guys is Josh Lowe. Now, Lowe is probably not going to be with Tampa Bay for very long. It was reported that he's being called up very early this morning. And I know very early this morning because I was working very early this morning. But look, this is one of the most underrated outfield prospects in baseball. The 13th pick of the 2016 draft has had an excellent season in AAA this year. 21 homers. Really interesting thing here is he's 24 for 24 with stolen bases. Never been a question with athleticism with Lowe. Kind of a slower development, but, you know, Tampa Bay has done a really good job with this type of prospect before. The younger brother of Nate Lowe, who is currently doing a solid job for the Texas Rangers. So is he someone that I would be considering adding for fantasy this year? Probably not, because I think this is going to be pretty short. Maybe someone I'm considering in a DFS lineup if you know he's in the starting lineup, because he does have well above average power from the left side. He could give you a steal. He's a terrific defensive outfielder, which doesn't necessarily help you in fantasy, but it does give him that chance to be a solid regular. Definitely a guy I'm looking at in 2022, but not a guy I think that you're going to have to roster immediately, especially because one of the reasons he's up is Randy Arozarena going on the paternity list, expected back this weekend. So it's probably a short stint, as Jeff Passan reported, but certainly a guy to keep an eye out. And if he's cheap in a DFS league, I might take a look. The next question I have is, will we see Bobby Witt Jr. this year? I think the answer to that is unfortunately no. Look, if not for these roster rules, I think Bobby Witt Jr. would already be up by now. But at this point, it just really doesn't make sense unless they plan on signing Witt to a long-term contract to make that move. Like, the long-term future, unfortunately, because of rules that were agreed to by the owners and unfortunately the MLBPA, and this is something I think that's going to have to get worked out in the next CBA, it's just the way it is. And as good as Witt is, and as he can't, the best he's helping the Royals right now is to a fourth place finish instead of a fifth place finish, or maybe you get hot and catch the Tigers to finish third. But yeah, it just doesn't make sense. But look, Bobby Witt Jr. is the best fantasy prospect in baseball, and I don't think it's all that close. A chance to contribute in five categories. Really impressed with what he's done this year. I think it's really worth pointing out that Bobby Witt Jr. hadn't played above the A level until this year, then missed 2020 because of the pandemic. It's really impressive to see what he did, even after a pretty slow start and it had some real contact issues. He is, to me, kind of the definition of the high-floor, high-ceiling prospect. He's not quite at that Wander Franco age. By the way, how impressive has Wander Franco been? I mean, this is just to get on base that often as a 20-year-old is just sensational. But to long story short, to answer your question, I do not think we will see Bobby Witt Jr. this year. Somebody asked me the better fantasy prospect between Hunter Greene and Grayson Rodriguez. And I think this is a really interesting question. And it's tough because I like both of these pitchers a lot. And I think what you're naming here are the two best starting pitching prospects in baseball. So I'll say this. If I'm doing a real life list, I think Grayson Rodriguez is the better prospect. And I think it's because there's no such thing as a surefire pitching prospect. 10 stab, that's certainly something that some of you are familiar with. But there's no doubt that Rodriguez has the higher floor. And the reason he has the higher floor is, one, he doesn't have the injury history that Hunter Greene has. That's just something you have to be aware of. And two, the stuff's a little more complete. Like, there are four pitches here that I think are going to miss bats. And that's big. Like, having that to keep these hitters off balance, to have those four pitches is huge. And we're not just talking about high floor pitches like 55 grades. We're talking a couple of 70 pitches and a couple of 55s. Those are legitimate swing and miss pitches. I've been very impressed what I've seen from Rodriguez here. I think you can argue, and I don't think it's actually – I think it's more likely yes than no, that the Orioles right now have the best overall prospect in baseball in Natalie Rutschman and the best pitching prospect in Grayson Rodriguez. So as bad as the Orioles are, and woo boy, are they bad, there is some hope. Now, the better fantasy prospect to me, and I think this is interesting because – a couple of weeks ago, I had Jim Callis on the show, and he mentioned Hunter Greene as a prospect that might be better real life than in fantasy. And he made some cognizant arguments, like there's no doubt that there is a chance that Greene could become a reliever, and that would certainly hurt his fantasy value unless he's the closer. But I actually think he's the best fantasy pitching prospect just because I think he has the best chance of missing bats of any pitching prospect in baseball. Like, it's an 80 grade fastball that has, you know, it doesn't have like the electric life of like, it's funny to say this because this guy is no longer relevant at all, but like a Carson Fulmer where you just have this unreal amount of movement, but it's 103 with movement. And when you're throwing that hard and it's not straight, that's impressive. And his breaking ball has made a significant amount of progress to the point where I think you can call it a plus pitch. And his change might be at the end of the day, after he's done developing it, might end up being his best secondary pitch. I could see that becoming a 60 grade offering or maybe even a 70 grade offering. It has made significant progress. There's obviously more risk with Green because one, the fact that he only has the three pitches compared to the four, and because of his injury history, it's something you can't ignore. But in terms of just ceiling, Hunter Green is the pitching prospect that I certainly want to roster at this point. Another question that I got involved one of the best prospects in baseball, of course, Spencer Torkelson. The question is, what do you expect from Torkelson next year? Will he be up right away? How does he compare to young first basemen like Bobby Dalbec, Andrew Vaughn, and dare I say, Jared Walsh? Well, I think Spencer Torkelson is better than all of those guys, potentially anyway. And that's all due respect to Andrew Vaughn, I think, has a chance to be an absolute star at first base. And Bobby Dalbec, a very flawed player, but, you know, the power is legit. The homers are always going to be there, and that's something fantasy managers should enjoy for a very long time. And Jared Walsh is kind of a combination of the two. I think he has the better, much better chance to hit for average than Bobby Dalbec does, but doesn't quite have the power of maybe Andrew Vaughn does, but pretty close. But Spencer Torkelson is better than all of those guys. I mean, we are talking about 70 hit, 70 to 80 power. And I know his average this year has been a little disappointing, 269. That's not indicative of his talent as all. The ball jumps off of his bat. I think he is going to be a guy, maybe he's not a 310, 320 hitter, but 280, 290 to me seems like very reasonable. And then 35 to 40 homers pretty easily. Will he be up right away? That's a tougher one to say. It's going to kind of depend on, one, does he sign one of those contracts? I doubt that's going to happen with him, but it's certainly something that could be possible. Do I think he's going to be ready? Yeah, I think he's actually ready to contribute right now. But I do think that we may have to wait like a month and a half or something like that. But Spencer Torkelson will rank very highly on my top 10 prospect list, which comes out every Monday during the regular season. And I'll promote that because I'm just a promoting kind of guy. But yeah, I do think Spencer Torkelson is a contributor next year. And in terms of just talented young first baseman, I think he's the best. And that is saying something. Rank Reed Detmers, Max Meyer, Matt Manning, Daniel Lynch, and Josiah Gray for next year. This is an interesting one. I'll say right now that the lowest name on that list is going to be Max Meyer because I just think that the Marlins, especially with how much pitching depth they have, Max Meyer is probably the one who's the least likely to make any type of impact. In terms of ceiling, I think he's the best pitching prospect that we're talking about right here. I mean, 270 grade pitches and another solid 55 to 60. My buddy RJ Anderson nicknamed him the Murder Hornet, and for good reason. There is a lot to like about his stuff. But if I'm ranking one for the beginning of the year, I'm going to go Josiah Gray. I've been really impressed with what I've seen from him. I like the fact that he is going to be almost assuredly just a lock to start the year in the rotation. I've been impressed with his stuff. I don't know how good the Nationals are going to be. The Nationals are a weird kind of organization, not because they're a good organization, but they will surprise you. They will make moves. I don't think this is going to be like a teardown rebuild. I would expect them to make some moves to try to be better. So I do think those win chances are going to be there for him next year. Daniel Lynch has been frustrating this year, but I've seen just enough flashes to believe that he's still a top 35 or so. No longer technically a prospect because he's exhausted eligibility, but certainly a guy that I think is going to help next year. Just struggled so much out of the gate. And we saw so many prospect struggles out of the gate this year that I think he can't really hold that against him. Matt Manning is the most talented of these four pitchers, if I'm actually being honest, with all due respect to Max Meyer. The most athletic, three swing and miss pitches, just exudes athleticism, the son of a former NBA center, save our Sonics. I can't help but bring that up anytime I talk about the NBA. But I think that he's regressed a little bit stuff-wise. And so I like him quite a bit. I would rank him ahead of Max Meyer. But I do think that there is a little more volatility here than I was thinking in 2020. A lot of people had Matt Manning ranked ahead of Tariq Skubal and Casey Mize coming into the year. And for reasons that are understandable, like a 70-grade fastball, a 60-grade curveball. And again, that athleticism was very impressive. But if I was going to do it, I would actually just go through. Oh, and then Reed Detmers. So Detmers is an interesting one to me. I think he is a better real-life prospect than a fantasy one, if I'm being completely honest with you. I know everybody saw all of those strikeouts in the minor leagues, but I think a lot of that was based on command and deception. And no, look, deception is very important at the major league level, but stuff is usually what misses bats at the highest level. And I think his stuff is good, but it's not necessarily at the level of the arms that we were just talking about. I think he's going to be a very, very good mid-rotation starter for a long time. And I do think he's going to get a very good chance to start the year in the rotation, so that helps as well. But he's not quite at the level of those guys, to me, in terms of stuff. So I would go, of those five, I would go Gray, Lynch, Detmers, Manning, and Meyer. Does Vidal Bruján start the season on the active roster with the Rays? Do they have a logjam that necessitates dealing him this offseason? This is an interesting one. So Vidal Bruján is a guy that I like a lot and a tremendous fantasy ceiling because of his ability to steal bases. The power that we saw at the beginning of the year, I don't believe was completely real, but certainly not a dink and dunk hitter. A guy, I believe, who can give you 15 to 20 homers, who can give you 35 to 40 steals. That's certainly valuable, but I think he may need to change organizations in order to reach that level. I don't think he's going to start the year. Now, it's tough to say because calling Tampa Bay a small market team is the understatement of understatements. They're going to make weird moves to, make the organization better and cheaper. Let's just be honest. There is a pattern here. So, yes, there is a chance that Vidal Bruján, if the Rays make moves, have a spot for him. But if you look at the current roster, it's a little tougher to see that, especially with guys – like Josh Lowe also in the mix, who is could be a better real-life prospect than Vidal Bruján, if we're being completely honest. Not a better fantasy prospect, because I think Bruján's ability to steal bases can almost literally win you a category. So that's something that you need to be cognizant of. But I don't think they have to move him because he's not being paid very much money. In order for him to reach his fantasy potential, however, I do think that they're going to have to make a move right here. Let's take a look and see what we have next here. Plenty of first-round picks tearing up the minor leagues this year. Was this class underrated? I think the top of the class was extremely underrated, to be completely honest. Now, the depth of the class was not good, and that's the reason that you heard analysts, and I had Keith Law and Kylie McDaniel and those guys come on the show and talk about the class. They all had nice things to say about the top of it. It's just that after that top, it's not so great. But the top of this class was really good. And you see some guys like Sal Frelick. I understand that he was doing it against competition. He should have never been facing, to be completely honest. He should have been a guy who immediately, in my opinion, started in low A. But absolutely tore the cover off the ball in the ACL. I still hate that name, by the way, ACL. What are we doing, folks? But he's a guy who can really hit, and he's a very good defender, and he can steal bases, an extremely underrated fantasy prospect. And you saw, unfortunately, Jordan Lawler got hurt in his second game. Still a ton of fantasy potential there. I rank him as the best fantasy prospect from this class. Marcelo Meyer is considered the best overall prospect and offers a ton of fantasy upside. Khalil Watson, who slid to the 16th pick because of reasons that have nothing to do with his ability. What a steal that was for the Marlins, and he's just been absolutely tearing the cover off the ball in his limited sample. Yeah, I do think this class was underrated at the top, and we have players like Jack Leiter. Fortunately, Kumar Rucker, we can no longer talk about being part of that class for reasons that are related to the Mets being the Mets. But there is a lot to like from that class. The reason why this class got a lot of disparaging remarks was because the depth isn't very good. Like outside of that top 11, top 12, with the exception of Frelick and Watson, who should have been higher picks to begin with. They just weren't. There's just not a whole lot there. Now, we'll get surprises. That's the best part about baseball. These guys kind of come out of nowhere and become stars and, you know, become either role players or stars. That is something that happens in every class. It's just the way it's one of the reasons the baseball draft is so hard to follow, but it definitely does happen. Julio Rodriguez, CJ Abrams, Riley Green. Do they have a chance to make an impact next year? Two of the three to me are locks. Julio Rodriguez and Riley Green are going to be regulars for their clubs. I think you can argue that when Bobby Witt Jr. goes away, that Julio Rodriguez is the best fantasy prospect in baseball, a guy with the same offensive abilities as Spencer Torkelson in terms of grades, except I think he has maybe a little bit better chance to hit for average just because his swing is so fast and the ball just absolutely jumps off of his bat. Not quite as much power, but pretty close. An absolute star in the making. I would be very surprised if he's not the everyday regular for the Mariners at some point in June, playing right field is my guess. But yeah, all locked to make a contribution. Riley Green, I think, still has. He's definitely going to make an impact. One of the most underrated prospects in baseball, which is weird because, you know, you see him ranked in the top dozen most of the time. I think that's underselling him. I think this is a legit top eight prospect, and you could argue maybe top five. He can do a little bit of everything. A lot of times that's considered a negative, but no, it's every tool here, I think, has a chance to be 60, and that's huge. So CJ Abrams, that's the question mark here, and it's because of the injury. But I guess there's a chance we could see him make a contribution next year, but I'd be much more, if I was a betting person to say, or if I could bet on something like this, I should say, to say 2023, just because it's a much safer ETA. But in terms of fantasy impact, I mean, he ranks among the best shortstops. And that's saying something because shortstop is a loaded position in the minor leagues right now. 80 grade speed, not like elite power, but certainly a guy I think could hit 15 plus homers, maybe even 20 in his best years, and should just pile up the steals. Such a good feel for the game. One thing to be aware of with Abrams is the fact that he may need to change positions just because of what San Diego has, or maybe he is the shortstop of the future, and maybe Fernando Tatis Jr., you know, maybe that's a position change that happens, but it is something that you'll want to be paying attention to. But Rodriguez and Green definitely are going to make an impact next year. CJ Abrams, I'm not so sure about, but certainly a name that I'm keeping an eye on for sure. The most disappointing prospect in 2021. This is a tough one because it's such a weird year this year, and I think there's a lot of guys, so I don't really like insulting anybody, but I would say the prospect that has been the most disappointing, at least in my eyes, is Drew Waters. Now, Waters had a terrible start to the year and then started to hit again, and then the contact issues just kind of have collapsed right now. You take a look at his numbers right now, and he is hitting – is a .330 on base percentage, a .365 slugging mark, a .231 average, and the big concern here, 124 strikeouts. Now, look, you can deal with 124 strikeouts if you're talking about a 25 to 30 homer guy. But this is not a 25 to 30 homer guy. He's hit 28 homers in his four minor league seasons. Power is really not a big part of his game. Stolen bases are. He's stolen 24 bases. He's stolen a very nice 69 bases over those four seasons. But you can't hit 231 and you can't strike out 124 times if you're not hitting for power. It's just not going to be something. This was a guy that I had ranked in the top 20 to begin the year and thought had a real chance to make an impact for the Braves this year. The fact you saw Atlanta make moves for several outfielders and not promote this guy, it was a pretty telling thing. So do I still think Drew Waters has a chance to be successful? Yes. Do I think he's anywhere close to a top even 50 prospect anymore? Even at the age of 22 and he doesn't turn 23 until December, I do not. So I would have to go with Drew Waters as my most disappointing prospect. Let's see here. Ryan Pepiot, Matt Brash, and Cole Wynn, rank them. This is kind of a fun one because these are three names that coming out of nowhere probably isn't quite the right thing to say, but guys that were not exactly high on prospect lists to begin the year and are certainly moving their way up. I've got Pepiot ranked in my top 100 on my fantasy list, and you can view that list With that, NBCSportsEdge.com/premium, you can view all of my top 100 prospects. A guy who I liked coming into out of his draft class, but I wasn't quite sure what exactly we were talking about here and what type of role he was going to have. I think it's pretty obvious what kind of role he's going to have now. I think he's a potential frontline starter. That's a lot to say for somebody who has not. I think he's still in Double A. I'm trying to get the page to load there, but I like Pipiot's stuff a lot. Cole Wynn is a former first-round pick that is a top 100 prospect for me as well. I think he might be the most likely of those three to be a reliever just because I don't see the command being where it needs to be at this point. There's still time for him to reach that point. And then I got a lot of questions about Matt Brash, and I understand it for a couple of reasons. One, unfortunately, I do have some Seattle ties, and you know I love Seattle, but it's something that I get questions about Mariner prospects more than anybody else. And two, because he's just been really, really good. Now, if you're not familiar with Brash, this was a fourth-round pick in 2019, and all he's done in 2021 is post a 2.08 ERA with 131 strikeouts and 86 and one-third innings. That's impressive. I have some serious command issue questions here. He's walked 41. It's more control than command here because our command and control, I guess, a Canadian prospect, you want to compare him to like the Mike Soroka, which is kind of lazy, but they have kind of similar stuff. This is a guy with three pitches that can miss bats. Yes, he does issue those walks, but he's usually around the plate and he doesn't make mistakes. Kind of think of Ian Anderson in that way, if you're going to compare him to another Atlanta pitcher. Like, yeah, there'll be some walks and that'll hurt the whip a little bit, but he keeps the ball in the park and he doesn't make mistakes. I think he is the least likely to make his debut, although he has now made eight starts for Arkansas and sensational starts, a 1.64 ERA with a 69-16 K to base on ball ratio in those 44 innings. Look, if you're looking for an underrated, unheralded pitching prospect to add to your dynasty league, I think Matt Brash is that guy. But if you're asking me to rank him, I would rank him third, but it's only because of how much I like Pepiot and how much I like Wynn. But Matt Brash is certainly a prospect that I would be looking to add. Griffin Conine, a potential fantasy player in 2022. Yes, but I do have some concerns. Now, for those of you who don't know, Griffin Conine is leading minor league baseball in homers. I believe he's up to 36 right now, which is a lot. The son of Jeff Conine, who is Mr. Marlin, of course, and it's fun to see him doing well in that organization, originally drafted by the Blue Jays, came over in a trade. The power is certainly legit, and I think he can be a three true outcome type of guy, a guy who draws walks, a guy who hits for power. But unfortunately, that third true outcome is strikeouts, and I don't think he's ever going to hit for average. He's basically changed his approach since I believe he was at Duke when he was in college. I'm an old man who forgets these things a lot. But yeah, a guy who, you know, had a chance to be a little bit of an average guy coming out of college, but it's kind of revamped that swing. I don't think we're talking about a future 40 homer guy by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think 25 to 30 homers is a possibility. And I do think he's a guy who has a chance to walk 70 or 80 times, but it's going to come with a lot of strikeouts. In 102 games this year, he struck out 169 times. That's a lot. 169 strikeouts in 102 games. It's a lot. We're talking about a well over 200 strikeout rate if we were playing a full 162 games. But certainly a guy to keep an eye on, especially if you're a fantasy manager who is looking for help in that power category. Very legitimate. Hit 22 homers in 80 games in the 2019 season, so it's never really been a question about the pop, but you do have to be wary that he is probably never going to help you in average.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Caleb Killian's ceiling and chances of Brennan Davis, Pete Crow Armstrong, Alexander Canario outfield in 2023. Brennan Davis is a lock, and I think you can start making the argument after Green and after Rodriguez that he's the best outfield prospect in baseball. And I'll be honest with you, I was slow to come around on Brennan Davis. I got a couple of reports that were kind of fringy and watched the video and didn't quite see that star potential. I was wrong. I was flat out wrong. Brennan Davis has tremendous potential, the top prospect in the Chicago system by a wide, wide margin. And that's actually saying something now because the system is getting a lot better, a chance to hit for average, hit for power, steal bases, strong throwing arm, great fielder. We're talking 60 grades across the board. I would guess that we see him at some point in June. Now, the other two names, not quite sure 2023 is the right ETA for those guys. I would guess more 2024 for Pete Crow Armstrong, if only because of the injury. For those who don't know, Pete Crow Armstrong was a first-round pick that got traded in the Javi Baez deal. Knowing how the Mets work, I joked on Twitter that this guy was guaranteed to become a superstar just because of the drama that was involved with Javi Baez not too long ago, which was absolute nonsense. But Pete Crow Armstrong is a very good fantasy prospect, a guy who I think has a 60-hit tool, close to that in run, and an excellent defender, like a potential to be a – I know gold glove is a silly term for these things, but a chance to be a real gold glove defender in the outfield, can flat out go get it, could hit at the top of the lineup. And then Alexander Canario, who came over in the Chris Bryant trade, I guess 2023 is a possibility. I have some question marks about the hit tool here, but the power is legit and he's starting to tap into it. I would guess more for those two guys, 2024. But Brennan Davis, we haven't talked about him enough during these thousands upon thousands of podcasts that I've done. But he is a chance to be a potential superstar, and I would not be surprised at all if he was one of the best fantasy rookies in 2022. Let's see here. We're running a little bit out of time. Oscar Colas ETA. Now, Oscar Colas doesn't even have an organization yet. One of the best prospects out of Cuba. All expectations, they can't say it, but is that he's going to go to the White Sox. So he's an interesting one because I believe he's 22 right now. It'll turn 23 soon. So you're not talking about a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old, someone like that. We are talking about a prospect who is pretty close to ready to go based on the reports that I have read, the limited time that I've had to talk to international scouts. All have very nice things to say about Colas. We're not talking about a Jason Rodriguez or a Luis Robert type prospect, but a very good overall prospect. One of the interesting things about Colas is he also used to pitch, but he has given that up. But grade-wise, we're talking plus power, close to that for a hit tool, a solid average runner, and a really good arm, no surprise, since he was a pitcher. He looks to me, and based on the reports that I've talked to, like a solid average starting outfielder. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just if you're expecting him to be this next superstar, you're expecting too much from Colas. A guy that ETA would go 2023, assuming that he does get a chance to sign when that IFA stuff happens. Yeah, I think that could be something where he spends a year in the minor leagues and then comes up to the majors, maybe even a slight chance. Thing with the White Sox is the outfield depth is pretty good. So that will be a difficult one. But yeah, Oscar Colas, if you're playing in a dynasty league, keeper league, and you get the chance to add those guys, a guy I would absolutely be looking to add. Let's see, Forrest Whitley and Cade Cavalli. So Forrest Whitley, at one point, the best pitching prospect in baseball. Saying his stock has slipped is the understatement of understatements. Hasn't had a chance to pitch this year. You know, when he's at his best, you see a guy who has five pitches that could miss bats. And he's got a 6'7", 240 or so pound frame on him that gets downhill. I mean, anybody who watched him in the Arizona Fall League in 2018, I want to say, came away. Even that was after a kind of a lost year for him, but hasn't had a chance to pitch, has dealt with a suspension, underwent Tommy John surgery. That's going to keep him out until 2022. So if you're playing in a deeper dynasty league, I'm still holding on to Forrest Whitley. But his if there's like a trade situation where somebody is like really into Forrest Whitley because they haven't been paying attention, do it. Because there is a chance, unfortunately, that Forrest Whitley is nothing more than a reliever. And all due respect to relievers, that's a big disappointment from the potential that he was showing. Cade Cavalli was the Nationals' first-round pick last year. A guy who I was shocked that he got assigned to the level that he was, just because one of the reasons he was considered such an interesting prospect was because he was considered to have such a high floor guy. And unsurprisingly, in high A, dominated 1.77 ERA. But he was very good in double A as well with a 2.79 ERA. Struggled in his two starts with triple A, but the fact he's reached triple A is something to consider a win for him. Got former South Carolina arm, MJ Bauman, if you're listening to this, you're welcome. But kind of similar stuff to Forrest Whitley, like not quite the same upside, but plus fastball, plus curveball, slider and change are right around that level as well. Generally throws strikes with his stuff, has a tendency to miss up like a lot of young arms do. But I think it's worth pointing out that this guy's already 23 years old. So I think this is more high floor than high ceiling, but a player that I think will get a chance to start for the Nationals next year, have a chance to be a mid-rotation starter. And if you're playing in a deeper dynasty league, I do think he is worth fantasy consideration. Well, thank you guys, everybody, for those questions. That's going to do it for me. Next week, we'll be doing – me and Colin are going to do something kind of fun. We're going to look at every major league team and kind of make difficult roster decisions about not just a 2022, because, you know, we do have to start looking forward. That's just the way – hey, a prospect guy wanting to talk about the future. Big shock there. But we're also going to be looking at the guys that we want rostered for down the stretch. And then also the guys that we want to keep from those rosters. Probably do one of both for every team in the American League and the National League. But tomorrow, you can check Drew and DJ as they will try to match the magic of this solo show. Good luck. You can follow me on Twitter at CrawfordMILB, _MILB, that is. If you have a chance to rate the show, please do so. Hope you guys like this. Hope you had fun listening to some prospect talk. It's always near and dear to my heart. Please stay safe, and thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
With spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.